In the Zone, a staple of the football scene in New Zealand over the past 3 years. It all started when four guys decided that the Stuff.co.nz football podcast wasn't very good and thought they could do better. They were arguably wrong.
The first ever podcast recording was In the Zone.
For some reason, Phoenix fans actually listened, so the boys recorded more and more episodes.
Welcome to In the Zone 10.
In the Zone 20.
In the Zone 40.
Pod 50. The pod number 70.
Podcast 90.
It's pod 100.
But they didn't stop there.
In the Zone 110.
In the Zone 125.
In the Zone 150.
In the Zone 166. The penultimate In the Zone.
All good things must come to an end, though, and just 166 episodes in, they've decided to call it quits. They've had plenty of special guests on the show, and some even return for a second time.
Chris Greenacre, Gordon Glenn Watson,
New Zealand Football CEO Andy Martin,
Paul Eiffel,
Ernie Merrick, Phoenix
General Manager,
Chief Executive David Dome,
General Manager Smithy.
They were nominated for numerous awards, but never actually managed to win any of them.
We didn't win an award at the FFD Awards. The FFD, your awards are a sham.
So here it is, the final episode, coming to you live from Four Kings Sports Bar in Wellington. This is In the Zone.
Well, I think we should probably just finish up there, because, well, this is In the Zone 167.
That could be the best part of 167.
I lose track.
That could be the best part of 167 episodes.
Yeah, if you've tuned in online, or indeed if you're here live, that's probably the best of it. Thanks, Jace.
right, we're done.
Credit to Jace and Patrick for putting that together. My nachos have just arrived, so things are going to get steadily better for me. Anyway, the whole pod crew is here, and a selection of live studio audience. Hello, studio audience. There we go. Look at that.
Sounds like at least 100 there.
That cost us $8. So we are going to rattle through a pretty standard pod process, but with some user feedback. Where do we want to start? Do you want to start with the A-League Grand Final?
Yeah, let's get that out of the way.
Get that out of the way?
Yeah.
How many of us actually saw the game?
Well, I think News should really run us through this game.
News, what were your thoughts on the game?
I have no idea, but last week's daily shows were excellent. It was after I finished watching those and I looked at my watch and went, 9 o'clock. Ha, whoops, I've forgotten something here. And yeah, so I haven't seen any of it, except for repeated shots of Frank Ialoa.
Yeah, he came down hard, didn't he? I love the way he grabbed the trophy as some sort of, you know, last ditch attempt to stay on the stage. I thought they could throw it to him like a life preserver.
It might knock him out though. It's probably quite heavy, that thing.
Andy's aging.
Well, yeah. People have mocked Gallup for like holding on to the trophy, but I think he probably did him a favour there, because if that
came down on top of him. Be a hell of a way to go, wouldn't it? Bashed and skull staved in by the A-League toilet seat.
FFA chairman killed by trophy.
Oh, the irony. So he went arse over tit, and it was hilarious because the crowd had been booing him, and then he fell down, and then he got back up, and they gave him warm applause. You got to stick to your guns when you're booing someone, I think.
Yeah.
They should have applauded the fall. Hey, karma. Anyway, the game itself was, I reckon we predicted that in about round three, a comfortable victory league win. And we can say that now because we're finishing up, so we don't have to revisit these claims next week.
And I've also taken down some of the old files, so no one can prove us wrong.
No one can prove it. But it was a predictable outcome in many ways, and victory just too good. I mean, absolutely dominated Sydney, didn't they?
Well, I was going to say it's probably the most one-sided A-League final ever, but actually it wasn't.
No, there was five or six.
The 6-0 against Adelaide. But yeah, I mean, from the first moment, victory bossed the game, and really, it never looked like Sydney were ever in it. I think they had their first shot at the end of half-time. By the time they were already down and looking... Well done, that man.
The old dude from The Simpsons has just come to Four Kings. He's yelling at clouds over there.
But victory, well in charge throughout the game. I think just looking at the stats of the game, you didn't have to see the game to see how it went. I think Sydney only had like two shots on goal in the whole game, so well deserved victory with the best team throughout the league. During the regular season, during the playoffs, I mean, you can't argue with them. And the chances are they're probably going to win it again next season.
Yeah, not just the stats, but the whining from Sydney after the game, blaming everyone possible except themselves, made it pretty clear they were done.
Yeah, I saw that old Arnie was saying he was disappointed how the game was reffed, but Sydney were the ones who went out and started clogging people in the first 30 minutes, and when that didn't work, they really had no response, and they just looked so poor across the whole game. It didn't even look like a chance, and even the substitutes just didn't do much. And while Victory's sort of press was quite good in midfield, when Sydney did get a bit of time in that second half, some of their passing was absolute woeful. There's two free kicks that basically just played straight out on the touchline about 5 metres away, and it pretty much summed up their game, and they had pretty much nothing to offer.
After a sort of an apprentice season, Muscat's done pretty well to reinvent Victory in his own image, hasn't he? I mean, that they do play with an undeniably Muscat style now.
See, I think Muscat is somewhat harshly judged. He was, I mean, don't get me wrong, there have been years where he was an absolute
cod. What's going on?
But I think by the end of his A-League career, he was carrying Victory side and was a huge influence in a couple of titles there. And I think he's translated that to coaching. I think they play pretty good football, but then they don't take a step backwards as well. So they're a good mix of Brisbane, you know, in the Angies were good, but since then they've still tried to play that ticky-tacky, but they don't have any enforcers, you know, they're just soft. Whereas at least Melbourne try and play a decent style of football, but they're not going to take a backward step. If somebody try and kick them off the field, they're still going to beat them.
Yeah, he's a huge lots of things, Kevin Muscat, yeah. But he's done well with that side. I mean, they do play a reasonable brand of football, don't they? And they are very, very robust, shall we say. They're not afraid to get in there and mix it. He's also got the best out of Costa, who I think has been playing tremendously for them all season.
I think there's really two issues there. One is that, I think News is right, is that a lot of people have...
This is fucking ridiculous. You're agreeing with News, and News is saying that Muskie's a misunderstood genius and a nice bloke.
I wouldn't go quite that far, but...
I think he's a reinvented genius.
I do think that a lot of people have this image of Muscat being, you know, just a guy who lumps people on the field and doesn't really have any deeper understanding of the game. I think that's probably a little bit too harsh. I mean, he has played the game at a very, very high level. He's a thinker of the game. You know, but he's also very good at motivating.
Our live studio audience is leaving. It's a walkout.
You know, he's a good motivator and he's a good leader. He displayed that when he kept in Victory, and I think that's translated into his managerial style as well. But of course, ultimately, what won Victory the league wasn't Kevin Muscat. It was just the fact that he had by far the best team in the
yeah by a mile
in the park. I mean, not even close. I mean, when you look at that attacking trio of Costa, Berisha, Belkafala, with Archie to come off the bench, midfield of Finkler, Milligan, Valeri. I mean, that's
ridiculous.
I mean, that's a competitive side in some of the European leagues.
Yeah,
and when you have those kind of players, you really have to be an absolute numpty to actually not do well with them. So, you know, Muscat probably gets judged a little bit harshly, but when you have that kind of firepower in the
Celery.
Squad, then
even with a defensive line that's sometimes frail, although better once they got rid of Leia and Co, who's always a chance of biffing them in. If you've got, you know, an attacking a front six that is so much better than the rest of the league, even if you've got a keeper throwing one in a game, you're going to score two or three every game.
Still think Valeri's ordinary though, eh? Yeah, it just hasn't been great.
I think the thing is that he's next to Finkler, who does all the beautiful attacking stuff, and Milligan, who cleans everything up and is just strong and is everywhere. He sort of does the A-Rod role, where he's just there to recycle that ball and just keep the ball in possession and keep turning it over.
Pretty ridiculous when you think that you can say someone like Valeri's a passenger in that midfield and the other guys are doing all the hard graft for him. Like, they are ridiculous. And it is kind of hard to... We've said this on a number of pods before. It's hard to see how they've done all of that under the salary cap, but hey, who are we to judge, right?
Creative accounting 101.
Where's a whistleblower when you need one? Sydney are no worse, though, really. I mean, they've got a pretty star-studded squad as well.
Yeah. So
I mean, salary cap derby, that final.
I mean, that's the thing, you know. If you are going to push the salary cap that close, you might as well get the players that Victory have in rather than some of the players that Sydney have got,
Or some of the players that Perth overpaid.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they did cheat, at least they treated them good players. So you can't begrudge them too much because they play good football. So, hey.
So there is a little bit of other A-League news that's not on our agenda, which is the it looks like FFA might have to step in and prop up Brisbane.
And Newcastle.
And Newcastle. But
kick us out because
they're not going to they're not going to renew our license because what do we contribute, right? Fuck me. I mean, kazoo me.
I just wonder whether that swings the power of the negotiations a wee bit, you know. And I mean, what are the Wellnicks? I mean, they can walk away and you know, they can walk away clean and not have any debt. And you know, whereas I think the FFA start you start looking at this, the longer it's they're the ones that are in the worst position because they need a you know they need these teams to stay in there. And
yeah, they've got a league that's literally fallen. I mean, imagine if. Rob Morrison turned up to the next meeting and went, actually, that's we're out. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Kazoo you. So you got. Sorry to parents who've put this on in the living room at dinner time. But what are you doing? Seriously.
No, that's great parenting. Yeah. All right, then.
So you've got Brisbane in strife. You've got Newcastle in strife. You've got Central Coast on a week-by-week proposition. Tony Sage threatens to quit once every 6 months at Perth. And now he's been persecuted over the salary cap he willingly cheated. There's every chance he'll throw a tantrum. You know, we threaten to go. What, they're going to play a 5-team league next year?
At least
and West Sydney have no players. They've sacked them all.
At least Melbourne and Sydney are guaranteed to win it pretty much every year then, so.
That'll make them happy.
It'll make it like the ASB Premiership.
Yeah, although next year, I mean, they'll have the ACL to contend with, which, seen historically, hasn't been great for teams to deal with. You know, Wanderers struggled with it. You know, so. That might pull some of these teams a wee bit back into the pack, but while there's still going to be three or four at the bottom who look to be absolute shambles, and Brisbane don't have a coach, looks like Ramon's said don't bother calling me.
Yeah, don't call me at all until you sort of your life out.
Which is fair enough. I mean, if you want your first A-League job, you want to go into a reasonable stable. Yeah, Sam, I mean, going into Central Coast club 3 years ago would probably be perfect for him, but now you don't want to be tarnished with that brush.
Especially not when you've got a cashed up club that you can stay with here. Even if they don't have a league to play in. So, and that's all the A-League news, isn't it? There's not a hell of a lot else going on.
Is that re-signing of some bloke for the Phoenix?
Well, yeah, Bonaventure.
The guy who like 5,000 miles or something?
5,000 more? It's good to see that he wanted to be the man to fly 10,000 miles.
Just the way the Phoenix fall?
Yeah.
Well, he's Bonaventure! We need
Ernie. that's bloody good news. That is exciting. And Ernie's in Europe at the moment, trying to hopefully sign us a striker and a centre back. So we'll see how we go there.
Well, you hope Rolly's got a few connections. You'd hope from 5 years in Dutch football to tap a few shoulders and drag a few players out would be ideal. I mean, it worked for Sydney, didn't it, with Tavares and Fatty? Hopefully they come back with another. Another, not a striker.
Who was the leading goal scorer for Ajax this year?
Don't know. You got the answer?
Ridiculous rhetorical question shock.
Trivia 101 is you need to know the answer.
it's never been a hallmark of In the Zone, knowing the answers to things. I guess we can sign off the A-League there in our final pod and bid farewell to season, what are we? Season 2014-15 and we'll come back shortly and we'll talk about the ASB Premiership and some other New Zealand football bits and bobs.
That's me.
Can you string out that outro a wee bit more, Smith? Because
until Patrick's
when I say soon, I mean shortly, and shortly means just about now. All right, we're back. I hope you didn't mind Patrick's mixtape. What was that, Patrick?
That was The End by The Doors.
Oh, good retro.
Appropriate.
Yeah, indeed.
It's a Jim Morrison movie on last night.
Was it? Was it good?
Yeah. It's kind of dated now, I think.
Was dated?
That, speaking of dated, yeah. Was that date night?
No. Oh.
No.
I'm not at all convinced by that.
No, that was not an emphatic no.
No, it wasn't. No.
How are your legal proceedings?
She filed an injunction yet?
We're still in court.
Outstanding. Dale, did you have date night last night?
No, I had coaching night last night.
Oh, yeah. Is that the same thing?
No.
Okay.
No.
We went and watched some local football on the weekend. You weren't there though, were you? Because
no, I was definitely on date duty on Saturday.
Yeah, boyfriend duties.
Yeah.
Did you step up? What did you do? I don't mean. No.
Well,
first, detail blow by blow there, Dale.
First, there was a yawn, and I lifted my right arm up above my head and then out wide. And then
this sounds like.
Hold on, wait up. Has anyone got a pen? I need to take notes.
This sounds like a standard podcast with you and boxing next to each other.
I love that, man. Anyway, back to the football. Back to the football. ASB Premiership. Sounds like the end is nigh for the franchise league, which we've sort of known for a while now. Stephen Holloway wrote in today's New Zealand Herald that New Zealand football owed it to fans to give them a league that they could be proud of, whatever that was. He also raised a very valid question in that piece, I thought, which was, if this is going to be the end of the franchise league, why the hell would any of the franchises take it seriously next season? Where are we going with this?
It's hard to say. I mean, clearly the league has some issues at the moment around, you know, funding and, I guess, appeal to the public, but I'm not at all convinced that changing, whether it's a franchise or a club system, actually fixes that problem at all. There's still going to be problems with clubs needing money to enter the competition. There's still going to be a need to try publicise the competition more. And is playing down at Olay Academy or Endeavour Park any better than playing at David Farrington? Arguably, it's worse.
Yeah. And will the players be better? Will the standard of the league be better? If you want to televise it, what TV broadcaster is going to trundle cameras down to Redwood Park, you know?
I don't think Tarwell's going to get promoted. I think they're heading in the other direction.
But yeah. Hypothetically, anyway.
How about John Kirkhoff Park in Cambridge?
Yeah, John Kirkhoff Park. What? It's just hard to see how a return to club format is going to make anything better in the absence of some quite heavy investment from New Zealand football.
I can kind of, in some sense, I can kind of see the logic in that a lot of these clubs do have some good, volunteers that have money for, you know, directors of football, for youth development. And in a way, does the franchise system kind of duplicate that? And whether is it just easier to have a streamlined, you know, of Glenfield who has someone employed full-time doing, you know, youth development, someone employed doing, you know, the coaching, and whether duplication like that's actually helpful. That's about the only argument I can see.
Well, there's one thing that Glenfield has that neither Auckland City nor Waitakere have, and that is a massive pool of juniors to squeeze money out of. And
yes.
That's what worries me, is that, you know, a return to a club-based National League will put pressure on that revenue stream to go up, because, you want to extract more money out of every revenue stream you've got to pump your... That was Patrick as well. To pump your National League effort. You want to get Glenfield up out of Northern One into the National League, whatever the format that is. So you chuck $20 a head on each junior, and that's dire. You know, that's the direction that things went in Sydney many, many years ago. And even when I was coaching in Sydney in 2003, 2004, the subs for a junior to play in the New South Wales Premier League were $1,200-$1,300 a season.
They still are.
Yeah, and it's ludicrous, right?
And it's to play in the New South Wales Premier League. It's not even to play in the National League, and that's still those charges. And clubs like Birkenhead charge, you know, $50-$60 more than an equivalent club in Wellington's charging, because they've got a program of under-19s that go a long way. They put a lot of training into them and things like that.
Director of coaching's got to afford a mortgage up there.
Housing prices.
But that's the thing. I don't understand how that is better for the game in New Zealand to rot the living crap out of the future and out of kids. I mean, it's hard enough these days that every national coaching system charges you $1 million to send your kid along. You're already in danger of excluding a whole class of kids in this country that could well be the future for national representation. And we're going to make it worse all because we've got a couple of POMs running the thing and they've got clubs in England, so it'll work here. Morons.
I mean, yeah. You look at the South Island.
So is that a vote not in favour?
I'm not loving it.
I mean, you look at, like, some of the regional, you know, representation. I mean, you can't imagine a team in the South Island. Maybe Kashmir is probably the only team who would consider going into a national competition. I can't imagine anyone.
You've got those kind of militant folks in Nelson who every now and again decide that their kids need to play National League and they're better than kids from other parts of the country.
Yeah, but quality-wise, they may have the money, but quality-wise, I don't think it's there. I mean, Dunedin, I mean, Cavisham didn't enter the Chatham Cup last year because of what they expected cost later on down the track.
Dunedin Tech used to be the team out of there, but they pretty much only survived on the back of Aaron Burgess scoring goals for them.
And in a sense, you know, there's not much talent's ever come out of Dunedin. But, I mean, someone like Joel Stevens, right? I mean, he was playing National League at 15, 16. And now, look, he's probably going to get, he might go close to getting an A-League contract. For me, that's kind of the one or two people that you kind of need that regional representation to bring through. Otherwise, he would have been kicking around in Winter League playing 18 games a season and that's it. And probably never to be seen again. And so that's the kind of things that I'm worried about if we do go to a club system is we'll probably still get Hawke's Bay. You'll get probably four or five from Auckland, maybe one or two from Hamilton, probably three or four from Wellington, one Christchurch, and that's about it. So I don't know. I don't know which is better, but I'm not entirely convinced that the alternative is better than what we have now.
No, I agree. I'm not necessarily a fan of change, but I'm not too scared of a sort of a Super League type end of season Champions League style format type arrangement, where you know the top teams from each region, sort of three or four from Auckland, as you say, a couple from Wellington, a couple from the South Island, and a couple from the Central North Island, play together in a little
Champions League.
Yeah, home and away style thing. But the key for me is that they've got to find a way to fund that so that it's zero cost when you get in there. So I mean, you cover your own costs of obviously being a player, you know, having your players and your coaches and things, but having to travel around the country isn't a cost that the club has to bear. So it's a real, there's no disincentive to make it, because the old National League, the old late 90s summer Super League type thing, you got into that series and then it cost you $50,000 to participate, much like the Oceania Champions League type gig. And so you kind of, you know, you almost didn't want to get there because you had to find that money from somewhere, and that's hard to do at short notice. So if they're going to do it, they've got to do it so that it's
12 months out.
Yeah, so that you put, so that all of the teams in the regional leagues, like Central League and Northern Premier League, and so that they all contribute as part of their entry fee enough money that there's no cost to the two teams that come out of that league. And go, you know what I mean? That it's spread.
Is that enough football at that level, though? I mean, the concern to me is that you add that on the end of the season and, you know, you try and wrap it up before Christmas and you're talking 8 or 9 rounds. That doesn't strike me as having a significant level above what we've got now, which I think to develop players for the Phoenix partly and for the All Whites and to increase the profile of the game, we need a level above the Central League and above the Northern Premier League. And to me, that solution doesn't give us that. You're just relying on the winter teams who have the most money to try and accumulate a strongest team. But there's no guarantee out of that the best players will even play. You know, Miramar will have the money. They'll qualify for it most times out of here. But say there's someone very good playing at Stopout or the kids that used to be at Lower Hutt into Brendan McIntyre. They may not be able to afford it. They may never get a chance to be exposed at that level. And that, to me, seems wrong. And Team Wellington this year have failed the Wellington region, I think, in not having a lot of those players playing for them. But that should still be the aim of the ASB Premiership, is that it's a level above those regional leagues and that it's a credible league that runs for a decent period of time over summer. And what it needs is, and Stephen Holloway's kind of said that in his article, is that New Zealand football need to man up and invest in this and make it something viable. And my concern is that Andy Martin talks a big game, but I don't see where he's going to suddenly miraculously find the money, unless the money that comes in from things like the World Club Champs is fully invested back in that instead of funding 6 million people at head office and 40 coaches and, you know, and even then, you know, on top of that, they're still ripping off kids for NTSC and things.
Yeah, I think News's point about having a level above, you know, Central League, Northern Premier, you know, mainland, is that that's what you need. You need that stepping stone onto bigger and better things. And a club-based league, I can't really see how it's going to bridge that gap. Basically, what would happen under your scenario is just you'd basically end up with a kind of semi-franchise type league anyway, because all the teams that qualify will try and strengthen and bring players in, but probably for fewer amount of games and probably on a lesser budget. So it would just lead to a similar but an inferior product, and I don't see how that's helpful.
No, there's definitely an inferior product problem with what I'm proposing. Shorter, and some of the best players maybe not in there. As part of the whole idea, you'd hope that there would be transfer regulations that would allow players to come in for that summer series type thing. But you guys are not wrong. Like, there is definitely a number of drawbacks with keeping it at a club and then adding something onto the end of the season. The biggest one being the one that News has highlighted, which is that it's just not as long of a season of high quality.
I also think it's quite a hard sell, because say Lower Hutt qualify and are playing in that National League. Well, Petone's supporters aren't going to be down supporting Lower Hutt.
A hard sell to who? Like, no one goes to watch Team Wellington.
No, but I think it would be as bad or worse if you
shout out if you love Team Wellington.
Yeah,
with
a live studio audience.
There you go. two out of eight people present.
But would you go and watch Lower Hutt?
In a National League series, playing Glenfield Rovers? Sure.
Only if I could cheer on Glenfield Rovers. I'm not cheering.
So would you guys, wouldn't you? Be honest. Be honest now.
Nah.
If there was football on, I
exactly,
would go.
Exactly. And those are the people, you people, who go to Team Wellington now. True. You know, there are people who want to go and watch top level football, and you would go on if it was Stop Out versus Napier City Rovers. Yeah, you'd,
but
of course
we're not
you'd go
the
and watch.
Type of people you need to convince, though. You need to convince.
No, but I'm saying you're in no worse position.
No. I mean, we'd all still go. Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't.
I wouldn't, because I'm lazy. It's terminally. I'm interested, but the game's not in my front yard. So, therefore, too far away.
See that they've lost a perfect supporter by burning their bridges in Petone.
Oh, yeah, no.
If they built the Petone Rec, you'd have gone to watch anything there.
Yeah, if they'd wrecked the
Rec. Although now you've moved to Oriental, it's a little further away.
Yeah, not Oriental Bay, Oriental Street, anyway. Yeah. We don't need to tell podcast listeners where I live. It can only end in tear gas. What's going on the Twitter, Dale?
I can tell you that, hang on.
No one cares.
We're into 16 online listeners right now.
How many of those?
Scott Hunt is a big tweeter to us, and he sounds like he's enjoying it. So, Scott, you need to get your head checked.
And Scott,
online listeners. One's Patrick and one's you, Dale.
Can you just, Scott, can you just quickly tweet at us, are you presently wearing pants or not?
I think he might be in work because he's an Australian listener.
It doesn't matter. I still would like to know, Scott. Get your Twitter out, if you take my meaning.
Is that a euphemism?
I don't do euphemisms, News. You know me better than that.
Oh, someone's tweeted and said, I'm still listening on mute. Good.
That's the best way. So if we move along from the ASB Premiership to talk about the Phoenix. What do we?
Sorry, someone's also posted on the forums that this is the worst live podcast we've ever done.
Also the best one.
Undeniable. What about the Phoenix in the off-season? What do we have? The ASB Premiership's going to get, hopefully we'll find out more
Scott's,
about the rebound. Oh, Scott, pants or no pants?
I'm in the office. Unfortunately, yes. Pants are a requirement. he's downloaded the copy later. Well, all bets are off then. So maybe a second listening to Scott.
Giggity, giggity, go.
Picks.
Scott would I got no pants on, Scott, just so you know. The Phoenix. What are we hoping from them in the off season? Obviously a couple of big signings. Yeah. They're gonna sign some kids. Who do you guys reckon they're gonna sign?
Savvy's available.
Who?
Javi.
Javi?
He's just free agent from Barcelona.
How many beers have you had?
Second one.
Oh, Jesus.
I'd rather keep Benilia, to be fair.
Viniesta.
Viniesta is a t-shirt design. Tweet in if you'd like a Viniesta t-shirt design next. We'll tweet in. An actual fullback, left or right? Do you dislike both of them? So we've had a shout for a dedicated fullback. Do you just want one?
Who can?
Two will be great. So you're not a fan of Fenton or Musket?
Or Doyle.
Isn't he? Okay, so we're looking for two fullbacks. No room for Doyle in anyone's squad then?
I'd be playing him.
You'd start him?
I think we discussed
that. What was that, Trey? Sorry, in your bed. Doyle, if you're listening, change the locks. So dedicated fullbacks. Well, there's been no talk of that. A centre back is something that they're talking about. Do they? Here's a question. And feel free to tweet it. What's the hashtag? Goodbye ITZ. Hashtag goodbye
That's
ITZ.
The one.
Do the Phoenix now sign a centre back to play second fiddle to Sigmund and Durante, or do they go out and get someone excellent and basically begin the retirement of one of those two?
I think you go for the best player you can sign. So you aim to get someone who can slot in straight away. And if you can't, then you look at what else is available to hopefully groom for that position. But I mean, I think when you sign people, you can't. I think you're better off just looking for the best possible player you can get rather than.
Yeah, I mean, Sigmund's been nursing a few injuries this year, and Jura's obviously played every minute of the season, so fitness and injury wise, you probably don't have to worry too much about him. But Sigmund, I mean, I think he had two or three breaks off during the season of a game here, a couple of games there. That is a wee bit concerning for me. So I think the thing, the money in the off season will be going towards probably a centre back and a proper striker. I think midfield, we've pretty much got that covered. Fullbacks, I think they'll stick with Fenton and probably Musket. And that's probably about it that you're going to achieve in the off-season. I think that's where the money needs to go.
You don't just sign the best you can get. There's no point in signing a 31, 32-year-old. We need someone that's going to come in there and be a centre-back for us for the next 4 or 5 years. It's no point signing someone in their 30s who's going to be, in 2 years' time. We're going to have to make the search again. I think we need to find someone to build the defence on that's clearly the next, permanent replacement for one of these two. And then a cycle, and that's why Boxall at 27 is a loss for us, because he was a perfectly capable A-League centre back, and he would have taken one spot, and then you could bring in maybe someone younger next to them. But I think there's definitely a hole in there for a permanent replacement, but also someone that will be the cornerstone of that back line for the next 5, 6, 7 years.
But are you going to get that? Is that a thing? Like, are you going to get a 25-year-old centre back who is also ready to step straight in and be the cornerstone of the back?
It's not something you can count on. I mean, we've got very, very lucky with.
We've done it before with Cleberson and players like that.
Oh yes,
Jade North. He was superb for us.
Jesus.
If we found someone like Rowley, like the equivalent of that, then but it's kind of a situation that, as an A-League club, especially us in the A-League, can't really count on. So I think
just hold that thought. Dale, we're going to go to the Twitters.
There's a couple of doozies here. Ryan's Rovers reckons we need to sign a new intern. Totally agree. I mean, he's boshed this live before he's ready.
Ryan's Rovers, fudge you.
Yeah. He's had two jobs so far. Eat his food without dropping his cutlery and play the music at the appropriate time. Both of them. All gone wrong.
How good was that intro, though?
We've also got Don, Piney, who pretty much agrees with me. He says striker and a backup centre-back, but more importantly, a new podcast. Yeah. Don't know about that last point.
Is that another alternate account you're running?
Heath, he's dialed in to say, oh, he's two of them listening at the Council House in Palmy. What's Council House?
Is that not a drug den of some kind?
Cam, you're from Palmy, aren't you?
What's a council house?
Council House. Is that actually the council? It's not a...
Oh, they're just on some sort of independent living allowance.
I thought that was a name for a lap dance bar.
That can't be right at 6:30.
The Council House. What a great name for a stripper bar. The Council House.
Lappy's fair one at the Council House.
There's no way a public servant is still at work at 6:30.
Yeah, no chance.
So, he's got to be a student, surely.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, they're listening while getting lappies at the council house. The question is, are the two of them listening? Is one of them a lap dancer? Tweet in, we'd like to know. Pictures are welcome.
Although, to be fair, if you were listening to the pod while having a lap dance, you're a sad, sad
man. I kind of rate that. I rate that a lot.
It's an interesting fetish.
Maybe she's waiting for the music to come on and she restarts her undressing.
I'm not sure that dancing to when there's dancing to the End by the Doors is a traditional stripping track.
No, his friend would know.
Yeah.
Pod, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Pod authority on stripping music speaks. Well, goodness, that took an unexpected turn. Coming back to centre-backs, what are the realistic chances of us finding someone who's ready to step straight in for those two? And if we did, which one, Dale reckons you'd keep Durante and leave out Sigmund on the basis of a series of injuries. I think they're both of an age where they're likely to pull Eiffelet or griff it and just ping something and go and be done. And so I reckon Sigmund played better this season than Durante, so I'd keep Sigmund and I'd look for someone to replace Dura.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I just got a slow clap.
I think that was a golf clap. That was get the hell out. I'm golf capping you out of the...
Stop talking. Clap off. Stop talking.
I think you might see that if they did get someone that was, you know, first team quality, that you might see almost a bit of a rotation system to get them game time and give those two's tired legs a bit of a break next season. But it would need to be someone that's capable of walking straight in there. And you're talking about an Australian or New Zealander because, you know, the striker spot's very unlikely to come from either of those places.
And what about that striking spot? So are we looking for a big number nine? We going to sign a large Tracy-esque number nine? That's harsh. Harsh from Brandon. What sort of a player do we think Ernie's likely to look at? Can I just say that it is way out of order for Dale to steal my nachos while I'm introing another segment? It's actually a breach of podcast etiquette. But enjoy those. They're very good nachos.
If you turned up on time, I wouldn't have to.
Oh, I like that, is it? By the way, have we got any more information about whether or not the council house is a strippy club?
No.
Can you guys tweet in, please? I want more information about the council house, what the rates are, how I find it. Now, back to strikers. What are we going to get?
Do a Lundy run.
I don't know if I've got enough fuel.
Oh, no, he got the prostitute in Petone, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that.
The reverse.
A reverse Lundy run.
Yeah.
Anyway, strikers. What do we think? What do you guys reckon? Big lumbering centre forward or wee quick job?
No.
Another not a striker.
Another not a striker? Are you serious or is that you gagging?
Yes and no. I think probably someone in the Griffiths but much less sharp cod way. Someone who's more traditionally middle player, sort of but that gives us a bit of a plan B. I don't think there's any point in signing another converted wide player.
That was Patrick again.
Another converted wide player, the likes of sort of Burns and those and Krishna, because we've got those. I think we need perhaps a plan B for those times when that width isn't working for us and we're not getting those players into the box.
Just hold on for 1 second, just before you talk more about width not working for you. Does one of you guys want to sub in while I get another drink? Can I get it? Patrick wants to sub in. Patrick's coming
in. No.
Patrick's in. Patrick, what? Hey, don't turn my mic off. Patrick, what sort of a striker do you think we'll get?
I think we'll look for another Nathan Burns, fail spectacularly, and end up with another Michael Mifsud. That's what I think will happen. So
I wanted to bring up a player, but Smithy's not here because I want to see his reactions. So we'll just
drag it out.
We'll drag it out. Perhaps Smithy, if you're listening over there, maybe someone in the Heisingham's mould. I know you thought he was crap, but someone who does play a bit more centrally, but is not a Fallon-esque all-elbows, let's launch balls into the box type player. Someone who can hold the ball up, bring players into play and get in around the sort of the six-yard box, the penalty spot. Maybe even a greeny-like player.
Yeah.
No, that's Chris Greenacre, not Michael Green.
I would take Michael Green. I would.
We know you would. No.
Wow.
So, but yeah, I was thinking someone along Chris Greenacre, someone who can play centrally, you know, put a bit of pressure on the defensive line, be able to bring in others around him, you know, make those lat runs into the box because that's something that we traditionally haven't been good at. So, you know, just someone who offers something a little bit different to the current strike force that we have right now, and someone in Greenacre mould, I think would serve us well. And if we are going to use that last import slot on a forward like that, then you would think that there would be enough players around Europe who could fit that mould, whether they work out for us or not. That's always a bit of a
Roll
the dice, but yeah.
A bit of a lottery.
Don, my Maltese coming with a faster waffles would be good. So, good work, Don. I love your opinions.
Adam Ryan's popped up saying, sack Patrick. So, that's very kind of you, Adam.
You've just been sacked.
I've been sacked, all right.
Don't ever say we don't listen to you. I'm back. I'm back with another, I think my wine's called a Raging Bull.
Wow.
It's very good.
Is that Rib Shack?
Rib Shack.
No, it's as close as I can get to Rib Shack.
It's the cheapest thing they've got.
You guys know the Rib Shack. Do you guys know the Rib Shack story? Oh, yeah, you were there. You remember it well. Do you tell the Rib Shack
story? Does
she
remember it well?
Yeah. Vaguely. There are photos. I said I was there. Do you want to tell the Rib Shack story, Dale?
There's not much story, is there? Like this was, South Africa 2010 on the White Noise Tour. I think we sort of based ourselves in Johannesburg and had sort of usually a three-hour drive to each game. And fair to say, we stocked up on the hotel's bar that was selling, I think, beers for about $2 or something similar. Oh, yeah, great bottles, yeah. Do you remember what they were?
Castle Lager.
Castle Lager. She does remember it well. Whereas, Smithy...
I didn't really rate the Castle Lager.
Yeah, you're not a beer fan, though, are you?
Oh, I don't mind a good... I'm more of a craft beer man.
You're more of a beer snob, aren't you?
I am a total beer snob. Yeah. Fortunately, not a football snob, so I'm happy to watch the Phoenix. But
not what you said to us a couple of weeks ago.
Just because I wouldn't come watch the Nighthawks. Yeah, anyway, so I drank the red wine, but they didn't provide glasses, so I drank it by the bottle.
Yeah, and that's high risk when you dress mainly in white, too.
Yeah.
Came out as kind of reward, though.
And on a bus.
Turned out okay, though. Turned out all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, where were we at with the striker debate?
Chris Greenacre, Stein Heisegums.
Right.
Yep.
What is about someone like Stein? We couldn't afford Smeltsy.
Well, I don't think he's going to get another contract.
Push the salary cap. What is it about... can you imagine the conversation between Smeltsy and his missus about coming back here?
Can you imagine the conversation between Smeltsy and Siggy when he gets back here?
Fair point. What is it about Heisegums that we like? Wasn't he just sort of slow and average with a really good touch?
I think that's what we're talking about, though, isn't it? We're talking about someone in the middle that can hold a ball up.
That's what he was good at.
Make a late stroll into the area.
And meander into the area. Okay, interesting. Any names been bandied around? Anyone on the Twitters coming up with a name?
No.
Garen Bullitt.
Jesus.
Crikey.
The good news is that there's so little gang culture around here, he's probably safe.
I know, we can put him up in Stokes Valley. Drogba. What?
Michael wants him.
What? Michael Cockle wants him.
He wants Drogba at the Phoenix.
Oh, he wants Drogba at the Phoenix. God, can you imagine it?
Yeah.
Just got an update on our council house.
Oh, yeah, the council house. Tell me more.
Heath says, no charge, first time for you lot. Well, that's right in our ballpark. though we will take donations for our student loans. That's right.
The call's coming from the studio audience. Ask him if he's got a van. You guys got a van at the council house? We might pay you. Anyway, that's a handy segue onto the under-20s. Hoorah.
Yeah,
so that's coming up. You guys are doing a road trip. Thank you, Brandon, for that segue. It wasn't even staged. You guys are doing a road trip, but at the moment you're jammed into a Honda Jazz or something, aren't you?
Nissan Bluebird 2003.
You love cars that are generally driven by grandmothers, don't you?
Yeah, it gets me to A to B.
What's yours? A Nissan Sylphie. Oh, is that it?
Yeah, basically.
But it's hang on, let's give it the full. It's in champagne
with beige interior.
Yeah.
It's got wood paneling.
Great for insurance because chance of theft. You could leave it open with the keys in the ignition and no self-respecting car thief would touch it.
Yeah, the stereo only goes up to one of those like Japanese 89.3 FM or something.
You haven't invested in a band expander?
Nah.
Nah? Okay. Yeah. And is that, you're not taking your car on the road trip?
I think at this stage we are.
Oh, you are?
There's five of us.
You guys were talking about renting one.
Oh, wow.
We're renting one for the semis and the
final.
Oh, okay.
But not. Otherwise, it would be a It's cost prohibitive, yeah. So to rent for a full month. Yeah.
So who's going? It's you, Boxy, and you, Dale, Trace.
And Dave.
And
2 days.
And not two days. Not news.
Yes.
Oh, did you get a leave pass?
No. It's still up to debate. I think they'll be quite, put it this way, I think they'll be quite comfortable in Dale's car.
Julia, if you're listening. Both days. Oh, good crew. So, yeah, they're looking for a van. If anyone knows anyone with a van or has a van that they'd like to lend us or indeed has the skills to go and steal a van, then please do that. And something like a Nissan Bongo would be magnificent, wouldn't it?
Bongo.
Or a Mazda Homie.
Bongos were Mazdas.
Oh, with Mazda Bongo. Nissan Homie.
From the 60s would go down well.
Yeah.
No. We have to travel distances.
Yeah.
The Fever Mobile is more reliable than your average combi.
What about a caravan hooked up to the Fever Mobile?
Oh, wow.
Well, we'll get to about Petone.
A dozen like hills.
So the under-20s, what games are you taking in and what should people be doing? I bought some tickets today to the under-20s, which I had only just got around to doing.
It sounds like they're up to almost 200,000 tickets sold. And I think,
is that many? I don't really have a feeling.
I think what was the one previously in Turkey was like 280.
All right.
I think it's fair to say that was very poorly attended, though, in comparison to some of the other under-20s. I mean, I think that the final in 2011, was it 2011 or 2009, when it was in Egypt, had about 100,000 people in the final. So yeah, that kind of puts in the contest.
I think we'll get close to that at North Harbour Stadium. I think there's talk that
none of the people there will be from Auckland.
The opening game, New Zealand-Ukraine, is already 75% sold or something. I mean, so
to be fair,
that'll look pretty good.
We've purchased half of those ourselves.
So. Yeah. Are you guys in the studio audience going to the Under-20 World Cup? Just a game here in Wellington? Yeah. New Plymouth. What game in New Plymouth? The first one's Brazil versus Brazil, Nigeria in New Plymouth. That's not a bad little. Is that, when's that? 1st of June? That's the day after the game here? Saturday. Ah, is it Saturday here?
It's still a holiday. It's Queen's birthday Monday, so no excuses.
What? We're just talking about it being Saturday.
No, the opening here is Saturday, first of June is Monday.
Ah,
in New Plymouth.
Gotcha.
Do we do three games in New Plymouth?
Trips to New Plymouth? Four trips to New Plymouth, isn't it?
Seventh.
Yeah, right. Nice. Too many dicks on the dance floor. Yeah. You're most likely to know this, Boxy. Are there any superstars coming?
It's always
this,
hard to
this
tell.
Tournament has dwindled as a mecca for superstars, isn't it?
Pogba was their the player of the tournament last time. I mean, so
thank you, Andrew Gordy, for bringing that up on Twitter to make Dale look knowledgeable today.
Mm. Yeah. it used to be that all of the emerging superstars were at this tournament, and now it doesn't seem to be so much the case.
It really depends a lot on teams that qualify. One of the issues is that European sides have is that often the higher-ranked nations don't really put their best players in the under-20s because they're better, you know, those kind of players are on the verge of playing in the first team in their top leagues, so they don't tend to play in the qualifiers or in the stage now where the tournament happens during the European qualifying for Champions League and things like that. So a lot of the European nations put more emphasis on that. They're not necessarily having a really, really good squad. So they're always kind of a mixed bag. You never know what to expect from them. South Americans have traditionally taken it more seriously. But even then, it kind of depends on who qualifies and whether the big nations took the qualifying tournament seriously enough. It's really hard to predict, but that's what makes it really fun because, sometimes on paper you think, Portugal's playing, Togo, and you think, well, Portugal should easily win that. But then those games tend to be a lot more fun and a lot more interesting than you would necessarily think. So it makes picking a winner really, really hard, but it also makes for some really fun games to watch. It's also because they cheat,
Photo Max just saying that the African teams always take it pretty seriously. Boxy's not so convinced. That
seriously?
Oh, no, they take it seriously.
They take it too seriously.
Take it seriously in the same way that
25-year-olds turn to 22.
In the same way that Victor and Sydney take the salary cap seriously. That kind of way. So get on to that. Are you guys buying your tickets in sort of the what's it called? The pen? The
Nah. No, I think that's the fat. It's the family zone, I think.
Oh, is it?
We've gone.
It's cheap.
Category B, because I think most places won't sell out. So, we'll get anywhere close to selling out. So I'm sure there won't be too many issues moving around if we need to.
Yeah, nice. Very good. When's first game?
30th of May.
Next
Saturday.
11 days. Get involved.
Yeah, it's getting close.
Yeah. Right,
we should get permission to go, eh?
We're gonna have a little break here, I think, if Patrick's got his music queued up. And when we come back, we're gonna talk about the history of In the Zone, some memorable recordings, and some listeners' mail. So, yeah, if you're gonna switch off, just do that now. In the meantime, here's Patrick's favourite tune. All right, and we're back, we're going to talk a little bit about ourselves in a like real wanky way. No, we're not. The history of In the Zone. I can't actually remember because I've got the memory of a goldfish, notoriously. I can't remember how it started, but someone here might.
We were bantering about doing a Rebel podcast for ages.
We used to talk about how rubbish the Stuff One was.
No, that. I'm not sure whether it started around the same time. It was when...
Patrick, don't grab microphones. It's rude.
So that one started at the start of the season. You guys started at the end of that season?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it predated us. Yeah. I was a big listener of The Guardian Football Weekly, which is a magnificent podcast.
We never quite achieved those.
No, guys. Shit, no. No, they have they have professional production and all sorts. Sorry, Dale. And talent. They were really good, and I think we just sort of posited that it might be possible.
Well, yeah, I mean the original Fever podcast, which was Piney and Buckle and
Tomo
was very good, but very sporadic. You'd go 6 months without
hit
one.
And miss, yeah. Hit and miss.
And we sort of started thinking, oh yeah, we could probably do this. How do we go about it? And then I think Lee from Football Fans Down Under was over for and he does their pub cast, and basically he just had a gaming mic on the table, and we're like, is that all we use? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, well, let's do that. And our very first one was one mic in the middle of the table.
That's right.
And it was probably about a $20 mic.
It was horrendous.
And it sounded like a $5 mic.
Yeah, the dungeon, if I remember correctly.
It was. In a little office at Trade Me called The Dungeon. And it echoed like it was an actual dungeon.
Yeah, so the very first one was very...
If anyone's listened since episode one, tweet in.
Cam has. Cam's listened.
Oh, Cam.
Cam went back and re-listened.
If anyone who's not here has listened since episode one, fire us a tweet. Patrick has very thoughtfully acquired or made, I'm not sure which, a cake. Made a cake? Acquired a cake. And on it says fudge you cods, which seems appropriate.
Fudge off.
Fudge off cods.
Yeah.
Oh, either way.
Is it a fudge cake? Because that would be amazing if it was.
No. It does have some cherries in it. Is it a cod cake? Ooh, cod and chocolate. What a combo. We're going to tuck into that right now. But we're not going to make you listen to us eating. We're going to make you listen to us being really, really shit at what we do. So here's a little blooper reel to take you back in time.
We're in the zone. I'm Smithy.
I'm Ebold.
Unused. We have a look at that game, talk about the Jets game coming up and the other games in both rounds. Fuck, almost.
We chat about that game and the Jets game coming up, as well as reviewing the two rounds that have been and the one to cut. What? We talk about the TAB biggest collect and the Wellnix's owner of falafel. And we have a falafel in our kebab with garlic mint yogurt and some onions. And we talk kebabs in a pie or in a wrap. You decide.
Suck my... Thank you for your input. It's deleted.
This is In The Zone, New Zealand's number one football podcast.
One and only.
Yeah, this is In The Zone.
New Zealand's only and therefore best football podcast.
I'm going to keep this stuff. This is In The Zone, New Zealand's most listened to football podcast, bar none, because there aren't any others.
Asterix, we're not actually sure about that.
Asterix? You mean asterisk. Asterix is a character in a cartoon, fool.
All right, hello and welcome to In The Zone 6.
Seven.
Wow, let's do that again.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Macarena, aye.
Here.
Don't do that. That fucking hurts.
Sorry. I shouldn't need to touch anything now.
Where are you going
to
put that? Oh, good.
This is Michael McGlinchey and I'm listening to Yellow Fever on the podcast.
No, In The Zone podcast. We'll try that again.
Okay, welcome to In The Zone 12, around the box.
I'm Paul Eiffel and you're listening to, Bollocks.
Blow me.
There's a fucking toilet right there. Get in it.
I'm glad I recorded that. Don't you put that in the podcast.
Nom nom nom.
Oh, he's actually crying. On In The Zone this week. On In The Zone this leak.
Sounds pretty demuted to me. Or muted.
Yeah.
Demuted.
Demuted.
In The Zone. Sponsored by our open host. Yabin Odobar Service.
I'll be the thingy to Jason's gun. Did you just say ass bleed?
And
sorry for Dale. Dale's not very well. We've got to keep
hanging
it.
Got the chance.
Is that an outtake or is that... if yours is the biggest, take a photo of it, put it on our Facebook page. We also have a look at the other games from last round and the round coming up, including the Phoenix's home game against... Fuck! We talk about the rest of the games. We talk. Stop fucking saying that. We have a chit about New Zealand. And what are we going to do about it this weekend? What? Preview this... Fuck! Cheat or no cheat? We run you through quite a variety of different views in the Zone pod. What the fuck? On In The Zone this week, we're up to number 31. Hope you enjoy it. Nah, I've lost it completely. On In The Zone this week, we review the Phoenixes. You're such a knob. And we have a look at the rest of the round before we look ahead to the Central Coast Mariners game this Sunday at home and the other rounds. And we check out New Zealand football. And we check out New Zealand football. Sky are covering the All Whites games, thanks to Huawei. Stanks to Huawei. We look at New Zealand football. Sky are covering the All Whites in China, thanks to Huawei. Who are we?
Goodness gracious me. What a trip down memory lane that was.
You are the worst pod member by far.
I know, right?
Based on that.
I am a bad person and quite bad at everything. Dale, what are you doing, Dale?
He's got his mic on.
Just check out.
You know, your microphone's on. Okay. You're all right. You're okay. People can hear. If people were listening, they could hear you.
Good.
Yeah.
I noticed there's no cake in my hand.
No, there's still no cake. I believe Patrick was on duty with cake.
Is this fail number five for Patrick today?
I think, We have
is someone keeping a tally?
But what we do have is we have Bevan, and Bevan's going to read out a listener email. Bevan, you've been a long-time pod enthusiast, so welcome to In The Zone.
Thanks, yeah, big fan of you guys' work.
Excellent.
Appreciate all those early mornings you've done for on our behalf.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
It's very kind. How's your cat, by the way?
Small, furry.
Yeah, still alive?
Good. Yeah, it's good.
In good nick?
Yeah, she's good.
Excellent. Who's your email from?
Okay, so this first one is from Campbell McGill, and the subject is, "How dare you dicks?" Maybe I didn't get the phrasing on that quite right.
I like how it starts strong.
Yeah, no, he's good. He's gone straight in there.
Abandon the pod when Ernie is poised us for triumph next season? But honestly, your departure leaves a big hole. I've really appreciated listening to the pod. I can barely bring myself to go to paid employment each day. You guys did hundreds of pods, many on early mornings for the love of the game and the club. Oh, also, Dale, get along to a Liga Deportiva. Oh, I didn't practice how to say
We've thrown you under the bus. Yes, there it goes. My fever bus has trundled over you.
Dale will help you with that.
My ability has washed off on Devin already.
Come on, Dale, you help him out.
Oh, yeah, I'm not touching that.
If we were doing outtakes, there's one. Anyway.
And that's cheers from Campbell.
Yeah, brilliant.
Thanks, Campbell.
Very nice. Bevan, before you go, what are your feelings about the Phoenix season this year and hopes for next year?
Oh, I think this year's been great. Done really well. I mean, it was a shame we tailed off towards the end, but the team were really exciting, and we certainly deserve a long contract extension, please, FFA.
Sure do. Now. Apart from, Damien DeBowen, I know, if you're listening, if this is playing in a nightclub somewhere, Damien DeBowen.
On a hospital bed.
Anyway, thanks, Bevan. I think News has got our next listener email.
I'm going to skip the Ernie Clucks one. Someone else can have that. Particularly Dale, I think. This one's from David Heads, who's actually a man who's, I believe he's helped us out. He's one of the Australian contributors for us, eh? Thanks, guys, for all the laughs.
No, he's not.
Okay. I wrote to you on the 100th pod mentioning that I have learned a lot from you guys. I lied. To be honest, I think I knew before listening. If you come back next season, I will continue to listen to the pod. However, will feel extremely betrayed as you stated that pod number 167 would be your last. You guys suck except Dale. I like Dale. He makes the rest seem smart. In all seriousness, you guys have been good. All the best, Dave.
That is actually the role that you fulfill.
I mean, someone's got to be the worst one.
I've just taken a mouthful of cake at the most inopportune moment. I thought you were going to talk longer than News.
You told me to read it. I read quickly.
Yes, we've got Tracy here, special friend of the pod. Special friend. She's here to read a...
I think we should say that one for last.
Yeah, and what, I also
Tracy
should,
or Ernie Clucks? Read something, Tracy, even if it's just Patrick a psalm. Oh, here's Patrick again. Desperate.
I've got one from Mr. Ian Cooper.
Oh, dear.
From the Bay. Hi, Team Poddy, or should that be Team Podgy? Definitely Podgy.
It's accurate.
As you may remember from the 100th edition of In The Zone, I am a long-time non-listener to the podcast. In fact, I think my life may be somewhat better when you are off the air. However, I do digress. I just wanted to say that I blame you guys 100% for the Phoenix's inability to score from corners, and I look forward to seeing this statistic improve over the coming seasons. Many thanks. CDD.
Yeah, you're a wanker and you're an Australian, but we're all thinking about you at the moment, Coop, so if you're listening. What else we got? Trace? Well, I've got a little one here from Photomac. Here he is. Photomac is the photography equivalent of In The Zone. He's the only guy that takes the photos, therefore he's the best. And he says one word, gutted. So, that was... Thank you, Cam. We love you too.
I know you've got a young family, but you need to get out more, bro.
If you're listening, Mrs. Photomac.
She's not.
This one's from myself. Dear In The Zone, I liked that one episode when Smithy was away getting set on fire in West Sydney. Oh, and that one when Dale was away in Honiara. Also the one when Boxy was away on work, and that one where Newsy was bedridden with sickness at home. Those are my favourite four episodes.
Do you want to know what the most expensive podcast was?
Episode? I do, Dale. Tell me more.
So this is when on Honiara, and
is this course, before or after you had your accreditation revoked?
This was after, yeah. Smithy had emailed me the raw audio, and I'd gone away and tidied it up, and obviously taken out the outtakes and put them at the end and whatnot. And I went to upload it, and of course, being in a third world country, you had to pay quite a bit to upload some data online at the rate of a dollar a megabyte. And these ones are about...
Your average pod's about 50 meg, right?
About, 40 to 50 meg. And of course, you're at a hotel as well, so it's not cheap either. I had to do it five times. It kept crashing. The internet kept crashing out, and two of the times it got to about 95-96% and crashed, and then I just got sick of it and had to drop it into like a Google Docs or something, and someone else did it. So
yeah, I did it in the end.
It was about $250
pod.
So
and worth every penny though.
Worth more than probably all the audio combined.
Yeah, I think the most fun episode to record was when Smithy and Dale were with the Tornadoes in the States, and we did one over Skype. It's actually very, very liberating to be lying in your bed naked, looking at your laptop screen. It's a very, very special moment.
There was video on this call as well.
I
remember seeing that chest.
Those boobs. And Dale and I were both sitting on a bed in a hotel room in Florida somewhere. It was very intimate. It was a special time.
I think we bonded over that.
My favourite episode by far, and I have a sneaking suspicion that Patrick might have the audio of this, is when Ice joined us, and the pod took a very unexpected turn.
Yeah. Do you approve of your ratings on FIFA? Your own personal.
Do you play? Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah.
Don't take this the wrong way. Do you play yourself often?
What? What are you talking about now?
We're still talking about the PlayStation 4.
Because my answer is yes.
Yeah. That's my answer, that one.
There's not much you can do when you're laid up at home, is there?
Yeah, my hands still work.
For gaming.
Yes. I actually haven't as yet, but I will. It's because Phoenix are pretty poor on the game.
Right.
The ratings are pretty average. When I was back in England, I think I sneaked onto a FIFA when Sheffield United got to the Premier League, and we weren't bad, so I used to play with myself then. I don't play with myself as much
as anymore. You get older. As you it get becomes older. Less appealing to play with yourself because your points, your numbers go down.
Numbers go down.
Yeah.
Production.
Novelty wears off.
Exactly.
Things wear off.
Minutes come down as well.
Yeah.
Anyway,
good. Okay. Back to the rehab. So you get heel wedges and then.
And it's strengthened the tendon, and that's
where. Are we still talking about that?
Yeah, which you can't do enough of, apparently.
So I've heard.
So I've got 3.5 months of that to look forward to.
Why do you think my forearms are so big?
Seriously. And after 3.5 months, that full recovery?
No. Then I can start jogging.
Oh, okay. Start jogging. Right, okay.
And then it's getting back to jogging. After that, you obviously increase the pace, and I was never that quick anyway, so it shouldn't be
too quick. Oh, running. Yeah. Yeah, all right. We're gonna leave this here. I'm just gonna absolutely. I'm crying so much from laughing. I'm gonna short out the.
I should be back fit at some point.
Excellent. Good stuff. Are you? Someone actually tossed up in the. Oh. That was an excellent. Someone actually mentioned on the forums that you'd be a tremendous commentator. Is that something that that you thought about doing a little bit of?
Yeah, I think given the length of time I'm going to be injured, you definitely start thinking about what you're going to do when you finish. And you know, given my age, I'm 35 in October, so I'd always plan to get to 35 and call it a day. Anyway, if I do get fit, it'll probably only be one more season. I've had plenty of offers of different things, so that's quite encouraging.
Anything interesting? That you can talk about?
Yeah, I'm going to do a book. I've been asked to do a book by two different people, and I'm actually going to. They're actually going to work together to do it.
Oh, okay.
I won't say too much just yet, but
like a life story.
Yeah. So it'll be
not. You're not going to write a novel or anything.
No,
a little book about you.
No.
Dale's.
Broken Dale.
Dale's just fallen apart.
50 Shades of Life, I think it's obvious.
Yeah, that was pretty much. That's pretty much where mine was going. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, obviously the commentary. A lot of coaching things. A few people have offered me things to do now, but obviously can't get around too much at the moment. So.
Yeah. All right. Very good. All the best with everything we've discussed. I hope it all goes well. I think we'll leave the whole podcast there. Possibly we'll never return. I don't think we can ever reach the heights that we've just hit. But, you know, we may be back next week. And if we are, I hope you'll listen. Goodness gracious me. What memories, hey? Trip down Paul Eiffel's memory lane. So I suppose now is the time to turn to Ernie Clux's email. Dale, are you going to do us the pleasure, or Tracy?
I think Tracy's going to.
Tracy, you're going to step in. Welcome to the pod, Tracy Hodge.
Thank you.
It's a bit of a long one.
Zing.
It's quite long, so it might take a tag team. anyway, Ernie the Chicken says, "Farewell in the zone." It has been 160-something pod-filled weeks of audio treacle, and you deserve to be sent off in style. In my official capacity as ambassador of the people and for the ease of consumption, I have collated the feedback from the Vox Populi into this one easy-to-read piece of hate mail to send you on your way. Starting with myself, there are a lot of parallels between both the pod and myself, to be honest. It started out gloriously and over time became harder and harder to produce the quality everyone wanted. Now you selfish buggers are swanning off overseas and settling into family life, leaving this goose well and truly cooked. But unlike you slack lot, this chook won't be giving up. I guess I'll have to step up my game again in the coming season. But as you have decided to quit in the 10th season of our glorious A-League and teams of the decade are all the rage at the moment, I have taken the liberty of selecting a team for each of you. No correspondence will be entered into, and my judging of your thoughts are final. Do what you want with these, but it's probably best if Dale reads out his own. Going to start with Newsy's team. The objectionable Shark Cods 11. Would you like to read your team,
yeah,
Newsy?
Yeah, Newsy, read your team out. Just before you do that, though, Newsy, Peter O'Carroll, what we want to know about your tweet is... What scented bath oil are you? What flavour of bath oil are you enjoying right now? Peter's sent in a photo. If you're not on the Twitter, well, probably best to stay away because the implications are quite frightening. Anyway, Peter, if there's some kind of scented bath oil there, we'd love to hear about it. So far away. Anyway, Newsy, your 11 is
The objectionable Shark Cods 11. Actually, there's a couple of these I don't mind, but he's nailed some of my absolute favourites here. The captain is Jacob fucking Burns. Joel Griffins, who's, I'm assuming, the biscuit version of Joel Griffiths. Which is fitting because Joel Griffiths is broken. Mitch Nichols, what a twat. Bessa Barisha, don't hate him quite so much. Muscat, I think we've already addressed. Thwaite, see, people hate Thwaite. I don't get that. Matt Simon. Yeah, but here, Goodwin. What a little, Kuhl. Yep. Robbie Cruz and Ruben Zeg. Robbie Cruz, Zegovic, but Cruz.
Yeah.
To be fair, misspelling Cruz's name
Tom's
is
brother,
an appropriate
Tom's
trivia.
Brother, Robbie. My 11, the Rumour Mill 11, it's Chris Killen. Rory Fallon. God, shoot me. Tommy Smith, Simon Elliott, how good would that be? David Beckham, I'd still sign Simon Elliott today. David Beckham, Tim Cahill, Chris James, Jezza Christie, well, he's not Reeves, actual fact, wasn't he? Eags, would love to get Eags here. Robbie Earnshaw, and the ever present ginger Aaron Clapham. Dale, how's your 11 looking? If you have a beverage in your hand, settle back because this could be a laugh a minute.
Oh, it starts with the Yenevich, so I've said that a few times. So.
We need first name as well.
Oh, Vedran Yenevich.
That's good from you. It's By good. The way, this is the Cunning Linguist 11.
Do I have to go first names for the rest of them?
Yeah, yes. The whole name, please.
Dijan Pandurovic. Ramazan Tavzan Seuglu?
If in doubt, just go phonetic.
No phone a friend here. I hope the Human Rights Commission is not listening to this.
Jorvandi, Insiop Shin, or Kajero Kamoto?
That's not bad.
Oh, Nathan, that's a good one.
Oh, this is going to be good, though.
Nathan Constantopoulos. Popolis. He's an A-League player, isn't he? I should know that one. That's outrageous. George. Oh. Timo Theolos? Theo?
Theo,
is it? Well, there's got a U on it. Jonathan. Oh, this is another A-League player. Jonathan Astro.
Astro Hippopotamus?
Ashpro Popadimitris.
You're getting it so wrong.
And then Themba Muata Malo.
Oh, that's not a bad one to finish on. Well done, Dale. My favourite out of those by far is Jonathan the Astro Hippopotamus. Like an amazing cartoon character. Boxy, your powder keg 11.
I've just been looking at this. There's a lot of soup in that squad.
I suspect that may have been Ernie's point.
But pronunciation-wise, should go all right. So this is how you do it, Dale. Okay. Enver Alivodic, Ranko Despotovic, Miloš Dimitrijević, Branko Jelić, Milan Jovanić, Andrija Kaludjerović, Nebojša Marinković, Nikola Petković, Vukašin Ristić, Dejan Živković i Denis Kramar.
Oh my lord.
Is that just one player?
I've come over all Eiffel, I'm off to the men's.
Yeah, I don't know about you. I don't know about you, Peter O'Carroll, but I'm aroused. Anyway, Ernie Cox continues.
And so on to the thoughts of the masses. Danny Hay wasn't able to get his article in on time because he is somewhere in America on a school trip, but confirmed via phone that his views were totally aligned with those of Anthony Hudson. Anthony Hudson just described the pod as more painful than 20 minutes alone with Gordy.
Fair.
Yep.
I asked Piney what he thought about his competition deciding to shut up shop, but he said he wasn't aware there was ever any competition. I forgot the rest of what he said after getting lost in his dulcet tones.
It's easy to do.
The barista that makes your weekly hot chocolates called you a bunch of belly-aching shitbags that need to stop demanding Sundays for breakfast. This isn't Four Kings. Sam Malcolmson said that he once had a wireless back in 82 and was therefore more than qualified to cast pods in your absence. He also suggested changing from the normal four-man pod to only having three on the panel in a diamond formation. The assistant to the senior intern painted a large banner for the event but forgot the ropes, and to be honest, I don't know how he thought he was going to email it anyway. His missus didn't have anything to say, but just in case she gets tired of that elephant trunk and wants some feathers to ruffle, she can hit me up on Twitter.
I'll take that. Thank you, Ernie. 100% accurate.
Brother Ernie also took time out of his daily mojo run to pull the Hyundai over and make a call on the trusty Huawei. He wasn't interested in talking about the yellow fever or the pod because they were never a shirt sponsor, but he did offer me a Carlsberg, which I thought was probably the best beer in the world. I Love Nicks provided some feedback in the form of a lengthy love letter. However, after reading it, I think it was intended for Boxel and not Boxy, which does explain the Polaroids. Fact. Blaine refused to comment until he received his commemorative microphone he was promised for being a day one listener last time he emailed in. Teagle's feedback was going to be presented in person, but I think he might still be waiting for his bus to show up. Hatamoto said they could finally drop four names from their to-watch list, but expected keeping an eye on that violent Hobbit fan would continue to take up most of their time.
I think that's me.
Yellow fever bandwagon. Let me start again. Yellow fever bandwagon.
It's in your head now. It's in your head.
You can do it.
Yellow fever bandwagon jumper. Mike Green just said, "You pod." Andy Harper said, "You'd never really brought anything to the internet anyway." Mike Cockrell said you'd been taking money away from good Australian podcasts for far too long, and he was glad to see your license getting revoked. Rusty stayed up all night putting the finishing touches on a press release and has sent it to the FFA so it can be released by a third party as per the standard process. And finally, Tonya of Forum Fame said she'd never listen to another pod ever again, but she probably will. It seems only fitting that I wrap up this by recapping some of the highs and lows of your podcasting careers. So without further ado, highlights in this order. This letter and all my other contributions, obviously. Smith's outtakes. All other outtakes. 1982 bashing. Lowlights. Dale's pronunciation. Pods recorded from the inside of a submarine. When you kazoo over all the best bits from rants from news. Lack of focus on coalface football in Auckland. I best end on the most fitting words possible. You didn't know what you were doing, but we were still here when you were shit. Love from Ernie.
Oh, look at that, mate. Epic.
I hope I did that justice for you, Ernie.
Beautiful stuff. Wow.
Just breaking from the Twitter. Goodbye, ITZ is now trending in New Zealand.
Woo! Number just as we're leaving, we've arrived.
Number three.
Hashtag table 22.
Look at that. I think that is probably just about as good of a place as any to leave it. Unless anyone has any final thoughts.
No.
Let's be honest, we didn't have many in the first episodes.
Just about ready to chuck dirt on top of this coffin. Patrick, anything further from you? Brilliant. Well, from all of us here at Four Kings, and thank you to Four Kings, by the way, and from me and Dale and Boxy and News, thank you for listening. Seriously, it's actually been really good fun. And while we're a little bit sad to take a break, we didn't have any choice because Dale and Boxy are fucking up over here. So you'll have to find your football fix somewhere else for now. I should plug Patrick's upcoming Under 20 World Cup podcast called...
The Kids Are All White.
The Kids Are All White. I see what you've done. I see what you've done.
That's really helping the FIFA's racism.
I don't know. Bill Tuoloma was heard to comment, I'm not sure about this.
Yeah, this is bullshit. The Kids Are All White. Yeah, so get on that. But from the four of us, thank you very much for listening, and we will see you around somewhere. This is the end. My only friend, the end. It hurts to set you free, but you'll never follow me. The end of laughter and soft lies. The end of night. This is the end.